2017, The Economist wrote an article entitled, "The World's Most Valuable Resource is No Longer Oil, but Data." As the argument goes, companies and governments alike will increasingly rely on machine learning models trained with robust and consistently updated data sets to make critical decisions. Thus, the ability to collect, curate, analyze, and update data will be the foundation of any organization. This puts data, whatever those data are, on equal, if not greater, footing than historic commodities like oil. Conversely, a recent Forbes article published in March of 2019 entitled "Here's Why Data is Not the New Oil" discusses why this is not a completely appropriate analogy. Regardless of one's position, and by the way, I think we could do a whole podcast just on that topic, we can all generally agree that data set collection and curation is really important. In the remote sensing domain, particularly with electro-optical imagery, collection capacity is limited relative to techniques utilized in the advertising industry. This poses a simple but critical question for anyone in the geospatial analytics market. How can we optimize all the data currently collected by satellites or unmanned aerial systems for machine learning models? Or, more specifically, can we use machine learning techniques to enhance the resolution of imagery to, in theory, increase the utility of that data for applications like object detection? In short, the implications for effective image enhancement are big for the geospatial industry. Today, we're talking about super resolution and its impact, or lack thereof, on machine learning models. Hi, all. Welcome to Training Data, a podcast series brought to you by InQtel Cosmic Works. As an aside, we've gotten a lot of feedback recently asking if it was pronounced Cosmic or Cosmic Q. The answer is it's Cosmic, but honestly, we'll respond to anything that's close. As you may know, my name is Ryan. I'll be the host for this episode. And today I have two of Cosmic's best and brightest on the mic with me. Say hello, guys.
Hi, I'm Adam Vanetten, Research Director for Cosmic.
Hi, I'm Jake Schirmeyer, Cosmic's Geospatial Data Engineer.
All right, guys. So first things first. Before we start talking about performance thresholds or image resolution requirements, what is image super resolution?
Super resolution is a computer vision technique for accurately enhancing images beyond their natural native resolution. So currently, probably the most common application would be something like movies, right? So you have an old movie from the 70s and you want to see it in 4K. Well, people go back and they try and enhance that so it doesn't look completely fuzzy. The difference with things those people do and what we do is those are really more looking just at, does it look pretty? Whereas for our purposes, we really care about really the science behind it and if we get something really quantitative out of that.
So how does that work exactly?
It requires a multi-step process. So kind of at a high level, typically there's multiple image pairs. You'll have a low-resolution image, and you'll have a high-resolution image, and you'll have a pair, basically the exact same image in high and low-res form. And with that, we'll train a model to learn the relationships between these pairs. The model can then be used to transform previously unseen low-res images into the new high-res images. So in our study, we used two different methods, VDSR, which is very deep super resolution, which was a neural network and a standard baseline in the computer vision community. It requires GPU to run, as do most neural nets, and can be bought presently from MATLAB. We also developed our own in-house architecture called Random Forest Super Resolution. It would have been state-of-the-art about 4 to 5 years ago, and it runs on CPUs and could theoretically be run on an analyst laptop.
So I'm curious, why run the two models? If one's closer to the state-of-the-art than the other, why go to the extra effort?
On the surface, VDSR definitely is the stronger method of the two, simply because it's been proven to have stronger scores in the literature when performing super resolution. However, a technique like Random Forest could be just as effective for enhancing object detection performance, and the training time is much lower, and the requirements for your infrastructure are going to be much more cost effective. So that's why we chose to implement a simpler method like RFSR.
Yeah, and I would suspect for something like that, having both a lightweight compute option that maybe trades some performance for speed would probably serve a lot of applications relative to something that's more computationally intensive, right?
Yeah, correct.
So clearly super resolution could be really impactful in the geospatial analytics market. But how do we begin to assess that statement better? You know, as you guys know, at Cosmic, we're always trying to quantify algorithmic performance in a clear and well-structured manner in order to help inform startups, large commercial companies, academia, and the government. What are things that we are looking to solve or address here with this research?
Yeah, ultimately we had a bunch of questions that really lacked any specifics or details in the open literature. For example, we really wanted to know the following when thinking about super resolution. Specifically, when using super resolution as a pre-processing step, how much value does it add in terms of object detection performance? Across what ranges of resolution is super resolution effective for enhancing object detection performance? And specifically, can moderate resolution data be enhanced, and what would be the utility of that? So say you have an older satellite that's perhaps in that 4 to 5 meter mid-range resolution. Can we apply a super resolution technique on top of that to enhance its value and detect finer objects? Another question we had was, can we create even finer imagery than the best commercially available satellite imagery, and does that improve object detection performance? So we did just that, and we created 15 centimeter super enhanced imagery, and we'll talk a little bit about what that buys you in terms of object detection performance. A few further questions were, what is an ideal or minimum viable resolution for detection of certain objects? So in this study, we investigated boats, two classes of aircraft, and two classes of ground-based vehicles, so buses and trucks and cars. And our final question was, can a less computationally expensive super-resolution algorithm work just as well versus the modern super-res techniques? And that's kind of what we scratched at previously with the RFSR versus VDSR question.
And I'm curious if you think maybe one other question is would these techniques be relevant to David Caruso in CSI Miami?
I would hope so, but perhaps...
All right, moving on. We'll address that later.
Yeah.
All right. So we are assessing super resolution techniques in terms of how helpful or wasn't helpful in enhancing performance of object detections. Sort of two questions come to mind on this, though. What did you use in terms of algorithms for object detection, and why incorporate that into this project? Super resolution itself sounds really complicated. Why add this additional step?
Certainly, there's a lot of interesting work in super resolution right now. Those techniques in literature and academia typically measure themselves with something called PSNR, peak signal to noise ratio. And the details of that aren't really necessarily important here, but the gist is that the goal is to really accurately represent the upsampled image. And usually, there's kind of a secondary evaluation, which is, does it look pretty? That's not really what we're concerned with. We want to know if we apply such techniques like super resolution to satellite imagery, does it actually bring utility? And one pretty obvious proxy for utility is, can you detect objects? And so that's kind of where we started. We said we know that detecting objects is still an unsolved problem. People might claim otherwise, but I don't think that's quite true. It's still tricky. And if you super resolve an image, does it improve your performance? And so what we did was we started with some of the state-of-the-art algorithms. There's a few that come to mind, which are YOLO, SSD, FastRCNN. If you poll a bunch of people, a lot of those people have one of those three as their favorites. We wrapped those together into a framework that we called SimmerDown, Satellite Imagery Multiscale Rapid Detection with Windowed Networks. And then we could study with satellite imagery, all these different rapid object detection techniques.
So in order to do this work, you guys needed a big data set. You know, as you guys know, through our SpaceNet effort, you know, we've open sourced both high resolution satellite imagery with labels as well as algorithms, but nothing really specifically tuned for object detection. what data did you guys use, and how did you curate it?
Yeah, we really wanted to focus on smaller objects with this work versus the buildings and roads contained in SpaceNet. So we needed a data set that had objects like cars or different types of vehicles. So for this task, we ultimately decided to work with the XView data set. XView has approximately about 56 locations and 1,400 square kilometers of Digital Globe Worldview 3 pan-sharpened red-green-blue imagery. The native resolution of this data is 30 centimeters, and from this we ultimately simulated coarser resolutions. So we simulated data at resolutions of 30 centimeters, 60 centimeters, 1.2 meters, 2.4 meters, and 4.8 meters. And these became our target resolutions for our super resolution algorithms. So we fed coarser imagery to the super resolution methods and then trained models to enhance to these target resolutions. And from this, we also created the 15 centimeter imagery by applying a model that we trained to enhance imagery from 60 centimeters to 30 centimeters. And we applied that model to the 30 centimeter imagery to create 15. Additionally, for the XView dataset, it has 1 million annotated object instances across 60 classes. And in this setting, we decided just to work with vehicles, planes, and boats.
In those features, vehicles, planes, and boats, were there a sufficient amount of labels, or did you have to do some additional curation work on top of that?
Yeah, we ended up winnowing down the dataset quite a bit. So ostensibly, there are 60 object classes in XView, but it's highly imbalanced, meaning there are some classes like cement mixer that are a couple hundred or even a couple dozen objects, whereas something like building has hundreds of thousands. And so we ended up trying to do, started with kind of all the classes, realized that this just was a bit messy. And things like buildings, right, it's bounding box labels. And as we, if you follow our previous blogs, you've probably heard us talk about the need for precise building footprint labels. So something like squares and rectangles around buildings, isn't that appropriate? So we tossed that out. Something like a cement mixer with a very small number of classes, we tossed that out. And we also ended up lumping a lot of categories together, because instead of five categories with 100 each that are very similar looking, we just had 500 in one category, for example. Another thing we wanted to do was to try and ensure that different classes had approximately the same size. So there's a huge variance in things like building size, whereas with a car, there's a very small variance. It's usually around 3 meters in extent or so. And that makes it a lot easier to evaluate how performance degrades with resolution. So that was part of the reason for lumping things together into very similar sized classes.
A quick follow-up question on this, and I apologize, but I should remember it having looked at the data set. Is there a specific label for a Subaru WRX?
There is not. But anytime you see tracks in the dirt, it's a good chance it's a WRX.
As an aside, I'm all in if there's a WRX Finder competition in the future. Just saying. Okay, well, before we get to the most exciting part, essentially the results from this work, we're going to take a quick break to talk about some of the upcoming events in the geospatial community.
Hey, all. They say money never sleeps, but neither does geo. Cosmic's going to be on the road for the next couple of weeks, and it'd be great to see you out. So first, we're going to be at AnacondaCon, which is going to be in beautiful downtown Austin, Texas, the first week of April. Our director of research, Adam, will be presenting. A few weeks later, we'll be at Phosphergy North America in San Diego, and yours truly and Nick Weir, who's a data scientist on our team, will be presenting both results from the most recent SpaceNet as well as some of our other applied computer vision work. And last but not least, hometown conference, not leaving out DC, we'll be presenting at the FCEA Homeland Security Conference on April 23rd. Hope to see you there. All right, back to the show.
We are back talking with Adam and Jake about their super resolution work. Okay, so the suspense is killing me, and it's the part we're all waiting for. Let's get into the results.
So we kind of had two different fairly powerful
takeaways from the study. I'll start with one result, which is in some ways secondary to what we've been talking about, but is actually still very powerful, which is the degradation of performance over resolution. So instead of just looking at native resolution, 30 centimeter, we looked at performance from 30 centimeter all the way down to 4.8 meters. And the reason for this was to figure out how super resolution helps you or doesn't help you as a function of different resolutions. And to baseline this, of course, we do this with native resolution as well. And the end result is we get a curve showing how performance degrades as a function of resolution. The reason this is exciting, at least to us, is that that curve is a proxy, again, for utility of your sensor, your satellite in space. And knowing how well it performs is something that could help you decide, what do I actually need to put up there, right? We obviously all know building satellites is very, very expensive. And if you know, I need 30% performance for finding cars, something like this result could tell you how big of a sensor do you need. In this case, you need at least, no worse than, say, 1 meter or 1.5 meters. So we can actually point to a number now. There's, of course, error bars. We put a lot of work into figuring out what the error bars are there. But that, I think, is pretty powerful to know quantitatively how performance degrades with a different sensor suite instead of just launching in space and figuring out later at the cost of many, many millions of dollars.
Yeah, and just to follow up on that, in terms of the super resolution front, really what our whole study was scratching at, our primary findings were that super resolution is a relatively inexpensive enhancement that can improve object detection performance, particularly for certain classes with distinctive features. However, there's quite a few caveats to that statement, so let me clarify. Let's say super resolution, the method as in and of itself, performance declines as magnification level increases. So if we wanted to enhance images 2 times versus 8 times, it's going to be much easier to enhance an image 2 times versus the 8. Performance declines as the ground sample distance or the resolution of your imagery increases. So algorithms are ultimately unable to recover finer details as the imagery becomes coarser. So when you apply these algorithms to 30 centimeter imagery, they work quite well. When you apply them to 4.8 meter imagery, they're much less effective at enhancing the imagery and producing something tractable. We also did the test of the 15 centimeter super resolved imagery, and we really found that to be perhaps some of the most effective method for enhancing fine details and recovering things like lettering or fine grain patterns. The 15 centimeter super res actually ultimately increased your mean average precision by 16 to 20%. So this is a fairly significant increase, and it was certainly more effective for certain classes like small aircraft and buses and trucks that have really fine grain features that become enhanced as a result of this process. I also wanted to say that super resolution really should be quantified in terms of the ground sample distance gained, not an enhancement level. So working with satellite imagery, you should ultimately state that I'm enhancing this image by 30 centimeters versus I'm enhancing this image 2 times, as a 2x enhancement with 4.8 meter imagery would be a much larger change versus just a few centimeter change in the finer resolution area. I'd also recommend checking out our blog if you want more details and a closer look at some of our results.
Kind of a follow-up question for both of you guys. Do you think there'd be utility in exploring a similar study, but with a different analytic application? So moving from object detection back to perhaps foundational map features, something that we've looked a lot, both through SpaceNet as well as just internally here at Cosmic, or do you think the results would kind of bear the same output?
We actually did some of those tests already, looking at the most recent SpaceNet Atlanta data set to see if we could enhance some of the coarser imagery and the really far off nadir look angles to match the original native imagery on the most on nadir angles, and found that it really had minimal effect, actually no effect on performance. So it may just not work as well for these foundational mapping features like buildings, just because they're simply too large.
So based on these findings, what would you guys either like to investigate yourselves through our work here at Cosmic, or that you would hope to see taken up within the open source and research communities?
I think one idea is simply just to expand the study. Certainly, XView is a very large data set. We did encounter some trickiness in getting it to work, and there are other data sets out there which are very well labeled, such as the CowC data set. This is cars overhead with context. That's at 15 centimeter native resolution, so that could be interesting to see if we can super resolve that, say to 7.5, see how that turns out. That's obviously just very iterative on this process, but I think one thing that we found from this data set and from SpaceNet in general is that data quality really matters, and so trying this again with a data set that has very high fidelity labels could be very interesting. What you mentioned earlier, Ryan, about trying it for segmentation purposes, meaning foundational mapping, is still something worth trying in the future as well, for future SpaceNet competitions, because as Jake mentioned, some of these techniques like RFSR, the random forest model that runs on a CPU or just a laptop, it's a very light lift. So trying that, there's very little downside to at least seeing if it's effective.
Jake, what are your thoughts?
I think training an end-to-end algorithm that would optimize the super resolution to enhance what a computer vision algorithm would find the most valuable for object detection. So it might enhance certain features that a human might not value as much. And that could really increase our performance, ultimately. I think that would be an interesting application. And as Adam said, I think just digging a little bit further and trying this and experimenting with different data sets, different object detection frameworks, and different super resolution methods would make this research much more robust.
It seems like the goal of building out research around this topic is that at some point, given at least the results that we're talking about here today, this is at some point a natural pre-processing step for at least certain applications and certain data types, which I think as we start to see more machine learning models not only be adopted but deployed at enterprise scale across organizations, that is a pretty big implication. And as a result, the computational requirements start to matter a lot more.
Yeah, super resolution, once you have the algorithms trained, it's incredibly fast to process images. So you could process a 500 by 500 pixel image in well under a second. So I think it's about 0.2 seconds per image. So it's really something that could be deployed very quickly. We've also found these algorithms, the SuperRes ones, are quite generalizable. So once you have an algorithm trained using a variety of satellite imagery, you should generally be able to apply that to other images and do it quite accurately and effectively.
It's excellent.
It'll be really interesting to see how well these work at high resolution. So I mentioned 15 centimeter with the CowC data, but even higher will be interesting. And part of that is because, as we showed in our results, you get a bigger boost for higher resolution data. And the reason is because these features you're pulling out are just crisper. And so if you're just trying to build something that's very generic, like, say, a boat detector, you say boat, no boat, you don't get as much of a benefit from something like SuperRes as if you're trying to differentiate, say, between something like a go-fast boat or a fishing trawler, like more fine-grained classes. So that'll be interesting to see, again, if we get kind of more precise data sets, how well it performs. And we should also note that there's a danger here, right? Because you're also inferring kind of crisper edges from something that's blurry, and there's the chance you get it wrong. And so that there is certainly a chance where you guess, you know what, this is, I'll give an example, a very blurry number. You might be able to crisp it up, but you might say it's an 8 where it's really a 0. So this can be very powerful, but there's obviously some downsides if you just assume it's correct blindly.
So you guys already mentioned that we've posted a lot of results from this study on our blog, the downlink. Jake, also, we put some work up on GitHub. You mind talking about what's up there?
Sure. So we adapted the Very Deep Super Resolution framework to work exclusively with geospatial data, so that's available for download, and that can be trained up. There's a nice GitHub README, so you can follow along and deploy it yourself. The RFSR, I'd say, is even easier to use. You could install that on your parents' gateway in their basement and run a Jupyter notebook, and it should work pretty well.
Quick follow-up. Are gateways still in production?
I think my parents were one of their biggest customers, so they might be.
All right, guys. Well, this was great. I really appreciate you guys taking time out to talk about your work. Until next time, take care.